الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاثة إلا من صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له صدق الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected ulama ikram, hufaz ikram, dearest elders and friends, there was a time in the past, and we hear this often from our grandparents and our elders, that a Muslim, he was an embodiment of morals, of good morals, of ethics. He was a trustable person. He carried all the great and good, commendable character traits within him, which were recognized not only by the Muslims, they were also recognized by the non-Muslims in the societies that he used to live in. So just by the mention of his name, Muslim name, or by the sight of him in his Islamic libas, with his topi, his beard, this sufficed as a matter of trust for the non-Muslim even. Seeing the Muslim, because of the character that he displayed, because of the way he dealt with people, he was trusted, he was looked upon as a respectable, trustworthy person of high moral standings. However, as time went on, there was a gradual erosion in these qualities, in these excellent character traits, and sadly, because of becoming immersed with the dunya and the things of the dunya, material things, he reached a point where the sad reality became that it was difficult to differentiate between the conduct and behavior of a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Meaning that his behavior had turned such that sometimes it would raise a question that can a Muslim behave in this manner? Can a Muslim be expected, or can it be expected from a Muslim, or can it behove a Muslim to behave in this manner? So this tells us that we have encountered a problem. We have come upon a problem that the ideal that was there before, that pristine character stemming from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gradually becoming eroded to a point of being lost almost. So definitely we have a problem. So when we have a problem in any aspect, whether it's in our deen or in our dunya, then we need to do some constructive problem-solving strategies to overcome the problem. So first and foremost, if a person is faced with a problem, he has to acknowledge that he has a problem and accept that he has a problem. That's the first step. Otherwise, he can't move forward to the next step. Once the person acknowledges that, yes, I do have a problem, then he needs to get help either by himself or through some other people to analyze what is the problem, what is the root of the problem, what is causing the problem. And once he reaches the conclusion of the root cause of the problem is, then he can look at constructive, productive ways of overcoming that problem and solving that problem. For instance, a person, he has a thriving business which he had built up for many, many years, and then some point in his life, he brings his son into his business. And then gradually, this is an example. Gradually we find that there is a decline in his business. Monies are missing. Things are not adding up. The business is not running and thriving as it used to be when he was controlling it. But rather there is a decline. There is a gradual decline in the business, which from a gradual pace is starting to take a rapid pace. He knows back of his mind that this son that has brought in, he has some habits, got some things that are, is doing that is not so good. He has some friends maybe. But he shies away from that. He uses the hostage mentality. He buries his head in the sand for whatever reason, for shame or whatever. And he lets the problem progress. What will happen? Common sense, eventually the entire business will fall. It will crumble. That what he had worked for so many years will fall. But the intelligent and productive way for this person to rectify things would be firstly to acknowledge and accept, yes, there is a problem. This child of mine, for example, has come into the business and is affecting the business of mine due to certain reasons. Then he analyzes what is the cause of this, certain reasons in him, whatever. So he's got to treat this, rectify it, so that he can save his business from collapsing. Similarly, there are other examples with a person's health also. Okay, a person can have some health problem, health complication, and he shies away from it, not accepting, acknowledging. And obviously, if he doesn't accept and acknowledge, then he's not going to look and search for a solution to cure himself. Hence, it will lead to his dunyawi, his physical destruction. Similarly, when it comes to our deen, there are certain things that are destructive for our deen. There are certain habits that creep into us. There are certain ways and wrongs that come into us that become destructive for our deen. And like a person would want to save his material self, his material wealth, his material health, if he knows he has a problem, then to a greater reason, when a person becomes alerted or comes to know that he has a problem with his deen, with a collapse in his deen, there's something that is going wrong that is taking him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and heading him in the opposite direction, then he has to acknowledge this. More seriously, he has to acknowledge this. Because the detriment of this is that he will suffer, not in the dunya, he may get away in the dunya, but he will suffer eternally in the akhirat if he doesn't rectify himself, change and come back to the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes it's a bitter pill. It's a bitter pill that a person has to swallow to make the change and to improve himself. So, looking at this problem that we mentioned, this degeneration in our morals, in the high standard of ethics that a Muslim held, if we study it and we realize one of the major factors for this degeneration is the immersement in the dunya. Getting entrapped in the material things, where the dunya and material things become the be-all and end-all in a person's life, then everything else becomes forgotten because its vision, his mind, his objective is now focused only towards appeasement of himself, of his nafs, and his desires in what he sees in front of him in this dunya. And this is the way of the kuffar. If we look at our pious predecessors, our forefathers, and we hear this also from our elders, when they made the move and they came from India, etc., came to South Africa, they came here for business. But together with coming here for business, we hear this very, very often from our elders. What was their main fikr? Their main fikr is that a masjid must be established, maktab must be established, so deen can also flourish and deen can also continue. So they came for the purpose of their dunya, but they didn't forget the real objective, which was akhirat, preserving that identity, that Islamic identity for generations to come. Hence, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their fikr, for their concern, that today, many, many, many decades from the time that they came, we still have a strong foundation of deen in our country. Alhamdulillah. Yet we find, and we hear this from our satis that spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other countries like South America, for example, maybe other places also, progeny of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, people from Arab lands, but because of the immersement in dunya and becoming mixed up in that society and forgetting deen, forgetting that fikr of deen, they become so lost that you hear sometimes that they may just have a Muslim name, but no connection at all with deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now we understand, and this is proven by the Western researchers themselves, that due to their immersement in material progress, in making more money, in living a more affluent lifestyle, one of the greatest losses that they have suffered is that they have lost their children. And this is proven by research, that some old research, maybe from the 1900 to 1960, research was done that many of the heirs of the multi-billionaires in the Western field, in the Western world, many of them are either stuck in alcoholism or involved in drugs, involved in murders, involved in whichever wrong you can think of. The youngsters, the progeny of the multi-millionaire parents and society that was above them, lost. Lost why? Lost because the focus of the elders was only on material gain, only on working towards dunya, only on building up a greater empire. This is understandable when it comes to the West. This is understandable when it comes to the people who have no concept of the akhirat, who have no concept that they will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To those who don't understand that this world is just a transitory life, we're just passing through this like an airport. A person is traveling from here to another country, his destination is the other country, but he's just traveling through the airport. He comes to the airport and it's a very smart, fancy airport, and then he decides to spend all his money at that airport in the duty-free because he's so spellbound by the glitter and glamour of everything at that airport. He forgets about his actual destination. When he's going to have to take the next flight and get to the actual destination, what is he going to do? He will have nothing left to sustain him at his actual destination. Our actual destination as believers is Jannah, inshallah. We have to reach the Akhirah in a condition that we get a ticket into Jannah, bila hisab, inshallah. This world is here for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us here as a trial, as a test, to prepare for the Akhirah, to prepare ourselves adequately, ourselves and our progenies adequately, so that we can gain entry into Jannatul Firdaus, bila hisab, inshallah. Allah bless all of us with that. So, the sad reality is that as this is seen in the West, where there is a shift of thinking, shift of thought from the Akhirat, they don't have a concept of the Akhirat, they are only thinking about the dunya. The sad reality is that when the believers, when Muslims, when their chain of thought also moves away from their real objective, and they become so immersed in the dunya, then they be all and end all. Everything is just about amassing wealth. Everything is just about furthering the education, getting more degrees, excelling in the dunya, so that a person can earn more, a person can live a more comfortable life, and in the process, the akhirat is forgotten. And we see this before us, that when it comes to a child, now I'm talking about this because it's less than a week before schools will reopen. It's a time when everybody's focus is on where my child's supposed to be enrolled, what level of school he must be in, what type of education is being disseminated at that school, what is the level of that school when it comes in its standings in the grades in the country, etc. Fikr is being made in that. And the child is also being indoctrinated and taught that, you know what, you have to go to this school, you're spending so much of money to send you to this school, your grades must be good, you mustn't falter, make sure all your assignments are done, make sure you are learning and studying so that you can earn a better salary. At the end of the day, you'll get a better job, earn a better salary. And in the process of this, very, very sadly, we as Muslim parents also corrupt the thought process of our children by vouching for them wrongly when it comes to, for example, time for their homework. Then we say, no, he's got a lot of homework now. Namaz, it's okay, you can miss your namaz now. You don't have to come to the masjid for namaz. The homework must be done first. Homework must be completed. Then comes time to learn the madrasa work, if he's going to madrasa. School work must be completed. All the assignments must be done. Everything must be learnt. All the check boxes must be ticked. Then if you've got time after that, then you sit to your madrasa work. So what are we creating in our progeny to come? What mindset are we creating in our progeny to come? They already know that they have been taught by their parents, those that are responsible. كُلُّكُمْ رَعِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. That every person is a shepherd and he will be responsible for his flock. The shepherd is guiding his flock to teach his flock that your secular education is A1, primary. Madrasa, namaz, masjid, when we have time, we'll fit it in. This is the main thing. Where are we heading? What type of fikr and what type of concern and what type of value system are we passing on to the progeny to come, to the generations to come? Allah save us, Allah save us. We shouldn't continue in this manner, in this deed. It reaches a point where deen is lost from us, which as we have seen in other places in this world. Allah save us. So our fikr, as we are making a concerted effort in this time of the year, that my child must go to the best school for his dini education, there is no problem with a child for his dunyawi education, for his secular education. There is no problem for a child to learn secular education to the extent of need, obviously. But the greater need for a Muslim, is that he has to be firm in his deen, especially because of the different attacks and the different challenges in various forms that are coming against a believer, coming against our children. Threats that are coming against our children at such a young age now are unimaginable. We're not even fathomed even 5 years ago. So if we don't equip our children adequately and make the right choices for them, not that my child said he doesn't want to go to madrasa, I won't send him madrasa. Why? My child said he doesn't want to go to madrasa, Marana, I won't send him madrasa. No. You are the father, you are the mother, you are the guide of the house. You have to make that choice for that child. That you ensure that as you are picky and choosy about sending him to that school, you will make the child get up at 5:30 a.m. in the morning so that he can be ready and get in that transport and go to a school in Durban town or in Overport area. Why? Because that school, the standards are good. Spingo Bees doesn't have a school like that. They have to go so far. And they're going to come back home only 3:30, 4:00, also tired from 5:30 in the morning till 3:00, 3:30 in the afternoon. Why? Because no, that those schools, they are affordable. But when it comes to madrasa, then we look for the most convenience, most shortcut madrasa. We look for the shortest duration. Mana, you can't make a 1 hour madrasa, man. Just 1 hour madrasa. Leave all the other subjects out. Just do the 1-2 main things. You just pick 1 or 2 things. And then also, if you need to go to the optometrist, we need to go for a haircut, we need to go visit Nani, landed at the airport, we go and pick her, or if we go buy something from the mall, we'll do it in the madrasa time. So we look for the most convenient madrasa. Sadly, dunya will sacrifice from 5:00 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, till 4:30, 4:00, 3:00, whatever in the afternoon. But for madrasa, no, we can only give 1 hour. That too, all these other things must be fitted in the madrasa time. Then if there's any extracurricular activities that the school wants to have, madrasa must give the time for it. Who are we robbing? Respected residents, sisters listening over the receiver, our mothers, who are we robbing? Who are we bluffing? We are bluffing ourselves and we are robbing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time of the year when we need to make these choices and decisions. Look for the best madrasa for your child. Look for the madrasa that has about the best syllabus, teaching the most amount of subjects that's going to be beneficial to your child, teaching the things that are going to benefit my child in the akhirat, that are going to make him a good human being in this world, so his values and his morals are acceptable in society. He's not a delinquent in society. He's learning the morals and the ethics taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's learning deen. He's learning those things that are going to strengthen his deen and make him a soldier of deen in this dunya, and it's going to help him and help you in the akhirat. Because when your eyes close, the only thing that will benefit you is that isale sawab. One is the sadaqah jariyah that you may make. And then it will be the isale sawab that the child will send for you. If you made your child into a money-making machine, then sadly, that's the only thing that will be in his mind. He will be a money-making machine, and you can forget about accruing isale sawab, because he won't even know how to read one Yasin Sharif for you when you have passed away. So this is the time of the year that we have to make these choices. And also, when the ustad picks up that phone and phones you to tell you that, look, child hasn't come today, then don't make excuses for your child. Because that ustad is picking up the phone to phone you to ask you where your child is because he has love and concern for the akhirat of your child. Sadly, maybe you won't have that love and concern to the extent of the ustad, but the ustad has love and concern for the akhirat of your child. That's why he's picking up that phone and phoning you and pestering you in inverted commas that where's Muhammad? Why didn't he come today? Why didn't he come yesterday? And then you make excuses for your child. This is to the detriment of our own children. Support the ustads. Be a part of the learning triangle. In the learning triangle, you need the ustad, you need the student, and you need the cooperation of the parent also. If any one part of this learning triangle is missing, the child is going to be, is not going to get the best. Like how you are active with your schools, you are on the groups, you are responsive. When you are called, you go and you participate in the meetings, etc. And you show an interest in the secular education of your child. Show more concern for the dini education of your child. Because this is what will benefit you and benefit your child and benefit all of us in our dunya and our akhirat. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan.